Thank you.
We will have a roll call shortly when we have a few more members drop. This is a financial audit that was done by the Office of Legislative Auditors. Last year there was a program audit, and I'd like you to maybe discuss what you found in the audit.
Thank you. I'm Cecile Ferkel. I'm the Deputy Legislative Auditor. I am here to talk about the financial audit that we did on the Board of Water and Soil Resources. This was a report that we issued in November of 2007, so it's one of our fairly recent reports. It covered four fiscal years, fiscal years 2004 to 2007, and it was an audit that looked at the board's internal control processes, the financial operations, and also their legal compliance, some legal compliance issues. Just to give you kind of an overview, a little bit of the board, their total expenditures, which were for fiscal year 2007, were about $6 million. Payroll is about 80% of that, and then other larger expenditure areas include travel, supplies and equipment, and rent, and those combined are about 14% of the operation. The key finding that we had was that overall we concluded the board did not adequately fulfill its financial management responsibilities. That's finding number one. It's on page 8 of the report. Following that one then are 9 individual findings that we felt when we looked at all of these areas in the aggregate, it brought us to the conclusion that overall the financial management needs to be improved. This is a pretty strong finding from us. It's not very often that we go into an organization and we see enough weaknesses in financial management that we bring it all together and conclude that overall financial management is poor. So the fact that we do have this finding one that aggregates all of the other ones is a pretty significant concern for the organization. Beyond finding one, then, our findings 2 through 10, which provide more details about the weaknesses that we found. Those start on page 8 with finding number 2, and I'd just like to real briefly go through those, maybe expanding on a few, and then if you have questions about any in particular. Finding 2 has to do with payroll processing, and again, remember, payroll is about 80% of their overall expenditures. We found some weaknesses in their processes, that they weren't reviewing some key reports. The board does process its payroll using the state self-service time entry process where employees enter their time online and it gets reviewed, the time gets reviewed by supervisors electronically. They provide an electronic approval and it rolls through the payroll and gets rolled up into the payroll system and gets paid. Part of the controls in that process is that the employees are preparing their own timesheets and that supervisors of those employees are reviewing those timesheets and providing the authorization. The system has an error report, more or less, that will tell the board when someone other than the employee completed the time or when someone other than the primary supervisor signed off on it. That's one of the key reports that the department needs to review and follow up on instances where those exceptions happen. Beyond that, there's also reports that the board should be reviewing that detail the payments that are made each payroll period, and those need to be validated back into source documents. Without those kind in a process that's so automated, without those kinds of manual oversight, errors can occur. This is a finding that we do have. Self-service time entry is a fairly new process, maybe 2 or 3 years old within state government, and this is a finding that we do have in many other state agencies, but we feel it's really a significant issue because of the volume of payroll dollars, especially when you're in an entity where 80% of their money is spent on payroll.
Ms. Frickle?
Yes.
So the self-service, self-entry, is that the same system that, say, a DNR employee or is it comparable to other agencies, or is there a system of a boutique for the Board of Water and Soil Resources?
Mr. Chair, it's the standard system that the state uses. Most state agencies have that. A few state agencies have customized, like a 24/7 operation, like the prisons or the best homes have their own system. I think DOT also has their own system, but this is the state's generic self-service time entry system.
Proceed.
Finding 3 has a number of bullets that have to do with documentation that when we went out, we went in When we go in and do an audit, we select transactions and we want to see the documentation that supports those transactions, so we make a decision about whether or not they were processed appropriately. This series of bullets identifies various missing documentation where we ask the question and the department didn't have support to support the transaction that we were asking about. So from an audit standpoint, that's a pretty big concern. State agencies are not, you know, they're using the state's resources. They need to be accountable for how those resources are spent. And when we come in as the auditors, we expect to be able to see support to justify those expenditures. Page 11?
Ms. Circle,
yes.
On 10, the first bullet point that says the board did not have supporting documentation for an expenditure correction of $1.6 million recorded in the state's accounting system during our audit. Board staff did not know why the correction was made. They could not explain it. Did they ever find out?
Mr. Chair, I believe that they did ultimately determine what they believed the transaction to be, and we concurred with them. There was some staff turnover, I believe, in that area. And again, you know, when you have transactions like that that are unusual, they need to be documented so that in the event there is staff turnover, there is a trail of what happened, what the history of that transaction is. And that's really what we're citing. We're not so much questioning it at this point in the report that the 1.6 is still in question, but that they did not have sufficient support on file to explain it. Finding 4 on page 11 has to do with some grants that they received through the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and how those grants are accounted for in the accounting system. It's a little bit technical about what kind of codes to use and how to record those activities. And it's kind of a unique transaction, and they were doing it one way, and we didn't feel it was ending up in the accounting system appropriately. Finding 5 again, still on page 11, they didn't have adequate internal controls over returned grant funds. You know, they make grants out to other entities, and if the entities don't use up all the money, they're supposed to return it to the state, but they didn't really have a good tracking system to know when money was due back. Or sometimes those receipts were posted to the wrong grant. So on page 12, there's a paragraph at the top there that talks about money coming in from Winona County, but it was credited to Wright County. So they didn't have a good control over those return funds. In finding 6, we cite that the board did not have adequate controls over personal use of state-owned cell phones. That's an issue that's kind of been highlighted through the DOT investigation as well, and it is something that we're expanding our audit work on in state agencies that we're in the current time right now. And you know, this has to do with when the state issues a cell phone to an employee, the employees need to review those bills monthly and repay the state for any personal use on those. So they were not doing that kind of monitoring and also not doing an annual review of whether or not those employees needed a cell phone and whether or not the plan was appropriate for the business-related need that they had. Finding 7 on page 13, this again is kind of a technical how things are recorded in the accounting system kind of issue. It has to do with how they identify the liability date for certain expenditure transactions. And there are state policies about what dates to use so that the transactions get into the proper accounting period on the accounting system, and they weren't applying that consistently. On page 14, finding number 8 has to do with one of their employees that retired, and there are provisions now in the bargaining units that require part of their severance pay to go into a health care savings account. And they ended up paying just half of that in, and the other half, it took a while to get corrected. And again, this was an area there wasn't really good documentation on what was going on. Finding 9, still on page 14, the board had poor controls over their inventory for six assets and sensitive items. They didn't have a complete list of what six assets they had and sensitive items, such as cell phones or GPS. One of the unreported assets was $10,000 worth of computer equipment that was not on their fixed asset list. So they need to ensure that their lists are complete and accurate, up to date, and then also do periodic physical inventories to ensure that those assets are still available for use. And finding 10, which is the last of this group, again, this is a little bit of a technical way that you use the state's accounting system. There's a procurement side to the system, and if you go through the procurement side, it forces certain protocols that are appropriate in purchasing situations. The board had been avoiding that and making payments directly out of the payment or the MAPS payment side, and as a result, some of those controls that are in place for the procurement system were not followed.
I am going to call a meeting to order. We do have a quorum, and then if we would take the roll.
Hanson?
Here.
Angela?
Here.
Doty?
Here.
Gunther? Poppy? Peterson?
Here.
Singleton? Lagini is active this year. Yes.
Okay. And Representative Ranzo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Ma'am, I see the word circumvented, and that conjures up the word willful in my mind. You don't mean that the board willfully failed here in this regard, do you?
Ms. Ferkel.
Mr. Chair, we use the word circumvented purposefully. We do know the connotation that it has. I think that I don't mean to imply that it was done in a fraudulent, with a fraudulent purpose, but that it wasn't, it was, we believe, done with knowledge, that it should have been done a different way.
Representative,
thank you for your candor there. A layperson would see the word and conclude that there was a deceitful purpose for the action, and I don't think this one rises to that level, does it?
Mr. Chair, all by itself, I would agree with you. It was when we considered all of the other findings as well, the missing documentation, the errors that occurred, that we made the decision that this was more than just a mistake.
Okay. Thanks.
Ms. Ferkel.
Thank you. So again, just to conclude, those 10 findings that I went through, when we looked at those in the aggregate, we did conclude that the board has some work to do in its financial management areas, and that these findings as a group indicated an environment of poor financial control. Other areas that we looked at were grant expenditures. There's a chapter on that starting on page 17. And we did have a few findings in that area. On page 19, finding number 11, this was a prior audit issue as well, that we did not believe the board was sufficiently determining whether or not subgrantees had satisfied the matching requirements that were in place when they received their state funding. They were supposed to have As a qualification of getting the state funds, we were supposed to have local match, which could also be in-kind match, and the board was not sufficiently determining whether or not that match occurred. On page 20, finding 12, we also felt that they were not doing sufficient closeout procedures for cost share work grants. We did not find evidence of sufficient closeout when we examined that grant documentation. And in finding 13, we found that the board had awarded some grants to districts that had not developed comprehensive work plans, which are a requirement of receiving the funding. Another area we looked at was easements and conservation plan payments. That's chapter 4, starting on page 21. And on page 22, we have a finding about the wetlands bank, where you can, bungle this up, but you can bank your wetlands that you've improved so that other people can borrow them from you. I don't quite have a clear understanding of that. Part of the requirements are that if you do bank land in this registry, that the board needs to validate that the land has been maintained at a sufficiently restored level in order to still qualify for that, and we did not see that the board was performing those inspections.
Mr. Goldfeller, on 14, it says, since 1998, the board had not conducted inspections of wetlands added to the wetland bank. Is that what you're talking about?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. This strikes me as a major piece of this, and I don't know what is appropriate or isn't, but I think we should explore this one a little bit at another time.
Ms. Frickle, it talks about Minnesota rules. Wetland account owners are required to file an annual monitoring report for a five-year period. Who are the account owners?
The, I believe, and I'm sure the Delta representatives could explain it better, but I believe it's the land owners that have improved or maintained wetlands and deposited them in the bank.
Bowser, come up and speak to some of these issues as we go through the report. Any other questions? Ms. Frickle.
The final area that we looked at was professional technical services contracts. We had a broader audit, statewide kind of scope audit on professional technical services, and the report on that should be coming out in the next month. As part of that, we tested some professional technical services at the board, and we found some weaknesses there. The findings are on the finding is on page 26, number 15. We found that they were not preparing performance evaluation reports as required by statute. When you have a professional technical contract that exceeds $50,000, you have to file a report within 30 days of the completion of that contract about your satisfaction with the contractor, with your satisfaction with the product that you received. And it's intended to provide information to other state agencies that may be considering contracting with this vendor. And we found that the board was not following the report. In the broader scope of things, that was a fairly common finding that we had throughout our review of professional technical contracts, that this requirement was not well known and not well understood by many state agencies. So very quickly, that is the result of the audit we had. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about any of the findings in particular.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did your audit examine at all whether the number of personnel is adequate to complete all the things that should be completed?
Mr. Chair, yes, we did find that we believe that there was not sufficient personnel in the finance area. That is a part of budget cuts. 2 years ago, they had reduced the position in that area, and then I think there had been some instability as well. And I believe that it was at maybe 1.5 people at the time that we were doing the audit. My understanding is that they have restored some personnel to that unit. And I think that's a good improvement.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Anvil.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, a follow-up to the personnel area. Did you care to comment on the ability to communicate with and provide technical assistance to all of the folks at the local level and the whole implementation and communication and direction and the whole culture of effectively delivering the services that the legislature and the executive branch envision? I realize that's a global question, but it's one that I'm going to be asking over and over again, because my I'll hold that until I get your answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That really was outside the focus of what we were doing.
Okay.
When we come in and do a financial audit, we're looking at their financial operations, their internal controls over how they collect, if it's a revenue type of agency, how they collect and deposit their money and record it,
okay,
and then how they spend and allocate those funds. So we really were not focusing at all on how effectively the agency was accomplishing its mission.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll hold it.
I'm fine.
I'm just not used to having you on my right, so I
well, Mr. Chair, you're not the first one who has said that to me.
Any other questions? Well, thank you, Ms. Circle, and Board of Water and Soil Resources, Mr. Daschke.
Good afternoon, members, chairman members. John Daschke, the director of Board of Water and Soil Resources, and with me is Bill Mason, our administrative services director. I also want to point out our board chairman, Randy Kramer, is in the audience. Randy, could you raise your hand? He's here today as well. Let me just cover a couple of overall points, and then we'll dive right into detail of some of the things we asked about already. We'll try and give you some answers to those. There's a couple of themes, I think, in here, and certainly we acknowledge we'll be needing to do some things different and better. One is the point about documentation. You know, certainly there's a standard for documentation that perhaps wasn't met in certain cases. You know, one example is a post-it note isn't quite good enough, I guess, is one way to describe it. So we need to do something a little bit more concrete than that. Secondly, it was alluded to by already, which is, you know, we need to build in some planned redundancy and separation of duties when it comes to fiscal matters. And you can, in your handouts, I provided a copy of two things. One's a spreadsheet, which we'll talk about later on the block grants. But the first one is the summary of the fiscal the budget that the agency endured, the history over the several biennium previous, and including the time period that this audit covered. And so we had budget reductions we had to deal with, and when vacancies occurred and you can't fill them because the budget reductions don't allow it, you know, sometimes, especially in the conservation agency, the administrative things are the things that tend to not get filled when they maybe could have been or should have been, but the reality was the funding wasn't there. So again, those two points are we're building those things back to documentation as well as those plan redundancies and separation of duties, which are important for fiscal issues. Again, I mentioned maybe some of the reasons. You know, one is the point about the budget, the staffing that, you know, you don't have to do some of the things you'd like to do. The other one, I think, is, you know, more about the systems we use. I think there's a transition that we're seeing from, you know, what used to be a fairly paper-based set of record-keeping systems to a much more electronic. But yet there's some things that just don't translate well from one to the other, and we end up having to basically print out electronic files to make paper copies to be able to provide the documentation that's necessary to track some of these transactions. And we're building some systems to accomplish that in a more coordinated fashion, but some of them we just got to use, and that's the way they are, and we got to make the best of it, including the system that we have for payroll as well as the system that we have for expenses. I want to assure you that, you know, despite these findings, there was no misuse or misdirection of any funds for the purposes they were intended. They all got spent for the purpose they were appropriated for, and we can provide the explanation on the details. Here, I'll walk through that in a minute. However, we're serious about this because, you know, we're a conservation agency, but the fundamentals of administering those programs are critical because we have to have those fundamentals in place to make sure our conservation efforts are successful, so we're committed to doing that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through the details and try and give you some details because, obviously, the findings, you know, only have meaning in that situation. And then we'll explain what we've done and what we're doing to address each of them. Before I begin, I just wanted to acknowledge that Ms. Percival and Mr. Donahue are here. Their staff who were in our office for several months this past spring, top-notch people. They were very professional and courteous, and in some ways we were sorry to see them go. We didn't want them to come in the first place because they've been looking through all of our records and finding things that we don't do correctly, but they're very top-notch people, and they did a good job. So with that, I will just walk through, if you want to turn to the report you have, the response of the agency begins on page 31 of the appendix to the report, and I'll just walk through each of those items and try and provide some detail on each of them. If you have any questions first, I'll begin that. We'll start with number two, because number one is just an overall point. You know, they mentioned that some of these could be grouped, and I think that's true. Number two, though, getting right into it, this is the issue about payroll transactions. And as Ms. Burkle noted, there's a report that is provided on this electronic system every 2 weeks that needs to be reviewed by our staff to make sure that the managers and the employees entering information and made approvals, that that's all verified at another level. And Mr. Isley, that's his responsibility, and he's been doing that. And we've got a very clear message to all that you have to have that, you know, approval by your supervisor, and then Mr. Isley reviews those approvals at each payroll period before they're finalized. So that's already in place. Number three, there's several things in this item. Sure, you asked about the $1.6 million issue, and what that was simply a transfer of funds from PCA to Bowser for the purpose of the Natural Resource Block Grant for the feedlot program. And my understanding is they sent it over in one form, and we received it in that form, and we, as a receiving agency, don't get to prescribe what form it comes in. And the Department of Finance has come up with a way for us to both send and receive that fund with the same designation in the accounting system. So the money was transferred with the clear intention and used for the intention that it was designed for, but the accounting steps in between were the things that weren't done consistently, and that has been remedied by Department of Finance instructions. Bullet points two and three, within that larger item, I guess, that dealt with a couple of unexplained payments for expenses, and that one of them we did never find the correct or proper documentation. And as I mentioned earlier, we need to make sure that the paper and email and other authorities that are other authorizations that may have been made are connected to the state system for making expense payments. The bullet point number four had to do with an agreement that the PCA and Bowser entered into to address the rent that was paid from our agency to PCA when we first moved into the building some years ago. And there was documentation, again, but it wasn't sufficient. So it wasn't a printout of an email. There wasn't much more than simply a post-it note in the file saying this has been agreed to, and that isn't sufficient in the auditor's mind. So we need to make sure that we have a more formal documentation in place. The other ones are having to do with rent at a couple offices. One was in our Fergus Falls office, and we would send them payments. The U.S. Department of Agriculture was the agency we rented from, and they kept sending our rent payment back because they didn't know we were supposed to give it to them. And finally, they worked it out where they actually developed an invoice, and they sent it to us, and we paid it. So there was just miscommunication about when that amount of money was due and for what purpose, and it all got straightened up. And the same thing with the Chippewa Falls issue, with that real estate issue. So again, there was documentation, and sometimes you're trying to communicate with new landlords and other people in the middle of that process, but those things have been straightened out. Number four, this really is the same point as the one above about the mechanism to align the money that's being transferred between agencies so that it comes in and is received and with the same accounting protocol. I think is the way we've arranged it. We've worked with the Department of Finance to make sure that it's not consistent, so that's taken care of, right?
Yeah.
And the Department of Finance has given up a plan and shared it with PCA and us so that we don't have this issue come up in the future. Number five, this has to do with grant funds that get returned into our cost share program. What happened is my understanding is that, you know, we received funds back from different stormwater conservation districts, and at one point there was two stormwater districts, both had a W as their beginning letter, Winona and Wabasha, and one keystroke got entered in the wrong spot, so the return was posted to one stormwater district when it should have been to the other. However, in the end, it doesn't make a difference because they all go back into one big pool, and the only effect of that is that there may be a consequence for a future grant to that film water district, but those formulas going forward are checked by staff and checked by districts as well, because they'll know if they're getting more or less than what they have received in the past. So I think that, again, has been taken care of. Again, with the, you know, errors can occur. The issue is being able to find a mechanism to track and then address them, and we think that redundancy we have now with additional staff in our financial services area will accommodate that. The other question there, or the other point in there, was these funds come back to us in a physical check, and they have to be deposited into the financial institution, and those checks have been accumulating rather than being deposited in, you know, on a timely basis. And so now that we've got another person involved, we have one person that's responsible for depositing those returns and getting state funds back into the accounts that generate income. I think that's been taken care of. Number six, it has to do with the cell phone policy. We have, according to our accounts, you know, about 40% of our staff have state-issued cell phones, and that's because a great number of our staff are field-based out in the greater Minnesota area and do a lot of travel working with local governments. And formerly we had used a paper expenses form, and the staff wrote down their expenses, business expenses, including any cell phone use. And that was all managed through that singular paper documentation. And then the state went to an electronic system for paying expenses. And there isn't actually a way to incorporate that into that process. We have to do something separate. And so now we've established a separate process for cell phone use. We do two things. One, we have an authorization annually to determine who is needing a state-issued cell phone, and some staff only have a cell phone. They don't even have a landline anymore because they're on the road and mobile. And then the second thing we do is that each month the supervisor, or actually the employee and the supervisor, have to verify any use of that cell phone that's for personal reasons and then reimburse the state at the designated rate for that use. So that's been put in place and implemented. So number seven, this one actually was resolved sometime before the audit occurred, but there were some transactions early in the audit period that hadn't been, and that has to do with dating of the effective date of easements. We secure a number of state conservation easements, and we work with the Attorney General's office to be clear about the date when that easement actually is secure, because it has to do with the landowners, the payments and their tax issues and everything else. And so that's been taken care of, and it was issued prior to the audit occurring, but there was some early in the period that had that question still out there, so that's been taken care of completely as well. Number eight, as Ms. Perkle mentioned, there was an employee that retired, and there was a provision in the contract to make payment to the health care savings account, as I understand it, and acting on the advice of staff in the Department of Finance, the staff in our agency made the payment that was not correct. And so what we've done is, when this happens again, and it will, because we do have staff retiring, we all do these days, there will be a double check on this, basically, by two things. One, the finance folks will obviously process the transaction, but number two, we will review the contracts to make sure those amounts are calculated correctly before those payments are ultimately made. So that's been dealt with as well. Number nine, this one is underway. We have equipment, like all agencies do, including electronic equipment, that we need to keep track of, and we've again accommodated sort of a separation of duties here by having one person who records the receipt of the goods that have been ordered and another person responsible for the inventory of those goods that happens on an annual basis. And so you need to have a separation of duties here. Obviously, if someone was ordering and cataloging the inventory of items, we'd want someone else making sure that we had a count on those items every year, and our staff in the field offices are going to be involved with one person also in our central office. Number 11, this is the one that I want to spend a little more time on, because Ms. Perkle noted it was a prior finding that hadn't been resolved, and it has to do with our natural resource block grant. And you see here the spreadsheet that looks legal side piece of paper that lists every county that received funding. This is the most recent year. And they gave what's known as a block grant, and you can see there's a variety of different program appropriations that go into that. Many of these are mandatory programs the legislature has said local governments or counties shall carry out, and in that appropriation language is a statement that says that the county shall match that amount. And you know, obviously they're all going to be matching it, because the funding they receive is not going to be needed. the first audit finding was that we needed to do something to verify the match in every one of these counties. And the reality was that that's a tremendous workload to go in and actually go through the books of every county and determine exactly which dollars in their annual budget is aligned with these dollars that come from the state for these grant programs. And so it just wasn't practical to accomplish that given the staffing reductions that you saw on that other sheet. One thing that the auditor's office did offer this time, and I think it was very helpful, was that they said that we could accomplish this on a spot check basis. So we'd do a handful of counties each year, and that would help us then over time let others know that we could be there in the following year and provide some oversight through that mechanism. And so we're working on a system to do that that's reasonable in terms of the staffing time that it takes to accomplish it. The other thing is, of course, we could pursue legislation at some point next year to remove that requirement, but I think that in the past that hasn't been deemed something the legislature chose to do. So we'll continue to pursue a way to do that match verification, and you see it differently next year when we will see. I'm sorry, did I miss one? Just number 10, I'm sorry. This is just one that Elizabeth Anzalt asked about circumventing, and certainly there was no intent here. This is and Ms. Hubble's here today, actually, our staff person that works for Mr. Isley. She's the one that had been taught by her predecessor to enter these transactions according to this matter and this fashion, and how that's been addressed. And I'll let Bill maybe take on a couple of details here that have to do with one particular purpose, as I understand it.
I just want to point out LIZ, Board of Water and Sewer Resource. This was one particular commodity type, happened to be cell phone stations, and that was the one type that this person had been taught we should purchase through that other way. And all of our other purchases were through the proper system, so we corrected that and made sure there's no exceptions to whenever you do a purchase.
The other thing that we have been trying to do is to look at ways that we can, you know, sort of test this as the years go on, to make sure that the way that the auditors were able to test this is something that we haven't been able to do. We want to see if we can self-test or identify any of these that might have slipped through before we get to the audit in the future. Number 12, this is one that basically reduces the funds that we audit our stormwater conservation district cost share operations once every 5 years. And what happened was we had a staff vacancy in the marshal office, and we lost the ability to accomplish these cost share audits, closed off as we call them, on time. And that's been remedied, obviously, right away. We went ahead and did those audits, and there were no problems with those districts that had done those projects, but we have a standard that we have to meet, and we will meet it in the future. Number 13, again, one of the requirements for the Stormwater District grant is that there be a work plan physically in our possession, and there were a couple of Stormwater Districts that were received grants, knowing that they were completed, but we didn't have them in our files. And so one of the things we'll probably want to ask you about in the future is whether we can allow them to post these things on their website or have them otherwise available, rather than having, you know, there's a lot of old statutes that require lots of documents be filed in our files, which frankly, we get them and then no one really ever does much with them. And so the legislation that was passed last year to have a website established, and one of the things actually on there would be this comprehensive work plan, so we wouldn't need to have it in our receipt, and we would know if it was done because it would be on the website, and you'd send the grant out if it was there. Number 14, this has to do with the wetland banking sites, and there's a state rule requirement that says that wetland banking sites that have been established, as Ms. Berkel indicated, for basically accomplishing regulatory provisions, need to be inspected every 5 years. That is now in place and has been for a couple of years, and the reason we were able to do that is because a fee structure was implemented a few years ago by the legislature, allowing us to generate some revenue to have the staff that now need to do this available to do it. So that's been remedied as of a couple of years ago. Number 15, again, Ms. Berkel noted that the number of contracts that we do with other agencies do, we've got a requirement to, once the contract work is completed, do an evaluation and make sure that the contract was fully complied with and that the state got the services it's contracted for. So we are scheduled, we're scheduling a training session for our manager so they can be aware of how to do that review and make sure it happens on time. So with that, I will conclude my comments.
Any questions from Mr. Dashwood? Thank you. I think when we had the presentation for the Audit Commission, Senator Ress noted that it's a lot of recommendations in the report, kind of a high number compared to other financial audits. And you testified then, and you're testifying again now that those will be addressed and are being worked on. So I think we've provided a lot of oversight authority and changes and responsibility to the board in the last year, and we're looking at providing a significant amount of money through the bonding bill. So I appreciate the work from the audit staff on doing the audit. We want to make sure we have strong integrity and accountability, and you've committed that you're going to do that. And I think speaking for all of us here, it's very important, and we want to make sure that, you know, 4 years from now, there's not another, you know, that the financial audit will come back and say the problems in the previous audit have been addressed, rather than having any additional ones. Any further questions? Our next meeting, we provided you with the requirement to do a lot of reports last session, so I think we have we'd like an update on the websites that you referenced, some of the hiring responsibilities that we provided. The feedlot report, I think, is near completion, and there are some other reports. So I know we were looking at a date of March 4th, but you'll be speaking at the Senate then, so I think staff will work with you, and we'll get another date and time scheduled.
Okay.
Any other topics that we don't have too many bills assigned to us yet, but we would like to hear those reports in preparation for the rest of the session? And we'll have had the financial report coming from the our administration prior to that, so it might be a good time to hear from the report. Thank you.